Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Well, happy New Year's Eve Eve. Here we are on the brink of a new year. And there's some things we just need to let go. Some things we need to get a hold of going into 2019. The idea of the circling of the calendar is God's idea. And the idea of a circle and getting a fresh start, that's God's idea. Man didn't come up with that. God set the times and the seasons. And it's really a story, if we can remember and not get lost in the pagan interpretation of it and come back to the biblical understanding that we do serve a God of second chances and third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. And right now I'm going into my 56th chance. Some of you are going into your 70s, some chance. Jesus was asked by Peter one time, and Peter thought he was just really, really going above and beyond. How many times shall I forgive my brother? Seven times seven? Oh, how about 70 times seven? Really put it on the top shelf. How about if we forgive like God does, and we have loving kindnesses and the riches of every day, that every day even is a cycle, isn't it? 24-hour cycle. Go to bed, get up. And His mercies are new every morning. And as we're going into 2019, there are some exciting things that the Lord is wanting to do in your life and in my life. Now, I know that you've run the risk of 100 years bad luck. People have sent you something. If you don't pass this on, we've seen that, and I've noticed that somebody's been promised me every year I get double the blessings I did on the last, and so I think I'm up to 1,125 blessings now, since I've been getting that year after year, and so we see some of that and we roll our eyes, but the Word of God has some great words of wisdom for us as we go into 2019. And so I want to talk to you this morning about life hacks. How many of you heard of life hacks? You have to be careful now. Some people will promise you a life hack and it's really a joke. And you end up doing things. I saw some would purport was a life hack that if you took a lantern battery and opened it up, it was full of AA batteries. And so you could go buy that lantern battery for $5.96 over there at Target or Walmart or whatever. If it's $5.97, it's at Walmart. And then you could just take a penknife and open that up. And inside, it was just loaded with double A's. $17 worth of double A's for only $4.95. Folks, it's not true. Yep. You'll ruin the lantern battery and forget having a flashlight. And so there are people who will promise you a life hack, but it's really something to have you playing the fool. Well, we know that when the Bible gives us a life hack, that it is a word of wisdom, it's an insight, it's a direction that we can absolutely stake our life on it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have," everybody say it together, "life and have it to the full," to the max. Everybody on this planet really wants to have life and have it abundantly. Very often, that's what life hacks are about. It's like, how can I do this and do it easier and then free me up more time for something else and then do that easier and free me up some more time for something else? Because we want to have life and have it abundantly. And this is the big promise that is offered to us. But I'm here to tell you that only Jesus can fulfill that promise. The enemy will come to you and he will tell you that he has abundant life and freedom for you if you'll follow his life hacks. But how many of you know when he gets done, you're just mostly hacked off? You're ripped off. You're cut off. You're in despair and it just doesn't work. Well, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it to the full." So I have seven. I know that you're going to find this incredible this morning, but I have seven life hacks that I want to share with you that the Lord has just been speaking to my heart about as we prepare for 2019. They are simply shared and simply spoken, but this is something worth dedicating some time to, right? Because here we go, 2019, 365 days, times 24, times 60, times 60, and you have how many seconds you have laying before you. And you know what? Jesus could come back in the next little bit, and that would all be immaterial. You may find yourself going to sleep and not waking up this year, but coming alive in the presence of Jesus. Wouldn't that be grand? For you, but hardly anybody else, right? Now, let's be honest. And so we've had that happen, and we've had those unplanned for and unforeseen events happen. We do not have the promise of all those minutes, all those seconds, all those hours, all those days, but we do have the promise of life and more abundantly in Jesus. So, life hack number one, Psalm 100, verse number 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You've heard me preach on that around Thanksgiving. You've heard me preach on it in other times. Anybody that's had any time in prayer with me has heard that over and over and over. We come into his presence with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. So we give thanks to him and praise his name. Here's life hack number one. Enter God's presence daily. I have some wonderful news for you this morning. If you're born again, you have the right to expect and move into and towards and lean towards and anticipate a deepening, more intimate, close relationship with God, the creator of the universe. This is the birthright. This is the inheritance of the born-again person. Without being a Bible scholar, without understanding the original Greek, the original Hebrew, without understanding every word within the Scripture, without being a Bible scholar par excellence, just simply having new life in Jesus Christ. When that person who comes to that sincere moment and says, Lord, life just doesn't work well without you. I've tried it every which way but Sunday, and you know what? I'm tired of trying it my way, tired of trying to lean on my own understanding. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to you with my life such as it is, with all the wounds and all the scars and all the things that have happened to me and all the things that I've done to happen to me. And I'm going to come to you with my sin, my selfishness, all the problems, despair, history, background, and I'm going to come to you and I'm going to take you up on your offer to come and give all of my burdens to you, and I'm going to receive your forgiveness, and I'm going to make you Lord of my life. When a person comes to that moment of truth, however that sounds, in their language, in their culture, in their reality, when they come to that place of, Lord, I give up, I'm surrendering to you. I know and I believe that you love me, that you died for me. I'm going to give you my sin in a great exchange, and you're going to give me your righteousness, and you're going to place your name upon me, and you're not going to be ashamed to call me your son, your daughter. And when we come into that glorious time of being born again, a work of the Spirit of God, when we begin to become that new creation, when that moment occurs, from that point on, we have a right to expect, not entitlement, but a right to expect, because God loves me, has a plan for my life, and desires to be, have me in his presence, that I can experience the presence of God on a daily basis. Some people have that sense when they come to church. That's wonderful. I think you should have that sense. Sometimes people have that sense when they go out in the grandeur of nature and they just seem to encounter God in that way. There's different ways that people encounter God, and very powerful ways, and I'm not here to denigrate that or downplay that in the least. But if every one of us could come to that realization that I can be in the presence of God daily, the way it gets better. And I can carry the presence of God with me daily. God doesn't want me to come occasionally. We get that picture of what he really desires in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. I continue to knock. I stay in the position of knocking on the door. And if anyone inside hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. God is into the idea of fellowship, presence, and intimacy. This is what we see. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've what? Seen the Father. And so life hack number one is that we can have an expectation of entering God's presence daily. And having experience and being in His presence, that we can carry a sense of His presence with us continually. That doesn't mean that everywhere we go, we're suddenly or a cathedral. We have soaring high architecture and beautiful stained glass windows. How many of you know that, have you taken a good look at ourselves lately? I don't see any cathedrals in here. But I see some just everyday people. People that people would never expect that there is something supernatural, unusual, and powerful that could happen in their life because of you. But that's the beauty of it. God's not looking for cathedrals. He's not looking for every once in a while special purpose buildings. He's looking for the usual, the everyday, the customary, the people who wear topsiders and jeans or Nikes or Adidas. Okay? People who are sitting in a work cubicle, people who are at the wheel of a bus at an airport, people who are flying airplanes, people who are sitting at desks, people who are standing in front of classrooms, people who are nursing wounds upon a foot or changing sheets upon a bed. All those are the kind of people He's looking for, that they will dare to experience His presence and dare to believe they can carry His presence. Amen? Wow. Life hack number one, enter God's presence daily. Wow. Life hack number two. There's a neat little word here. In fact, we're not aware of this because we're typically not aware of how the book was constructed, but the 119th Psalm. You know, so I have those default dad jokes. And so one of my standard every year that kids kind of expected, if I didn't do it, they think I was ill. When Tasha says, it's time to read from the Bible before we pray and open the gifts, I say, this year, kids, we're going to have a recitational reading, an echo reading of the 119th Psalm. All 176 verses. Well, that's just the standard default thing in our house. We don't. We do Luke 2 and just part of it and a prayer. But the 119th Psalm is actually 8 verses per letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes from Aleph to Tav. Well, all down there, about the 105th verse, we run into the Hebrew letter Nun, or Nun. And it can be the word for fish, and it can speak of superabundant vitality. When you see a school of fish, what are you looking at? Superabundant vitality. There's a lot going on there. When you see a large flock of birds, you see them swooping through the sky in a unified fashion. Sometimes it can even be kind of scary, thanks to Alfred Hitchcock. But it pictures this idea. The word nun, with a different accent, actually stands for the Hebrew word for fish. And it speaks of life and vitality. Doesn't Jesus say, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men? And down in that 105th verse of the 119th Psalm, we hear the psalmist David. He begins every verse with the letter Nun, right there, those 8 verses. And he says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Life hack number two. Read through the Bible once a year. Now, that some of you were sitting there going, life hack, wow, this has got to be spectacular. I mean, an angel visited with Pastor this morning and gave this to him. Well, he could have, but he would have just been told me, have you looked in your Bible? There are some wonderful life hacks here. Here's a wonderful, and so I want to challenge you, and there's times that we put reading plans out. You can find 2,600 different reading plans. You can Google reading plans, and you can find it in your flavor of Bible. You can listen to it. You can read it. You can read and listen to it. You can get it in a sketch version, cartoon version, you name it. It's there. Okay? So if somebody doesn't have the word, I don't know how that happens because we are absolutely surrounded. I sat at my desk and because of internet connection was able to type in a few words from a verse, boom, pop it up in Bible Gateway, copy paste, boom. That's where I got that. It happened as I pulled these scriptures into the PowerPoint this morning. And so we can go through that. Do you know there's only 1,189 chapters in the Bible? Which means in the course of a year, about 3 chapters a day. And in 1 year, what have you done? Read through the whole Bible. Now, some of you, we have read through the Bible together. But here's what I like to do. Sometimes I read through the Bible a year. At the same time, I decide I'm going to read through the New Testament every 21 days. Or sometimes I spice it up and say, okay, every 40 days I'm going to read the whole Bible. And go through and go through. And that's my objective for the year. I'm just going to try to go through 9 times. Now, 7.5 times is about the most I've ever done. But it's still kind of a goal there. Because what I find is, as I become familiar with His Word, things click together, things piece together, and it's okay that I don't understand it all while I'm reading. Why? Because this is the Word of God. And we have the Holy Spirit with us. And I'll tell you what, He knows some life hacks. He knows how to take that Word. And it's just amazing when you begin to go back to His Word every day, whether it's a reading plan, if it's through YouVersion, if it's through starting in Genesis, going to Revelation, if it's trying to conquer the whole Bible in 40 days. I don't know how you want to attack it, but I'm telling you, there's just an amazing thing that happens, that it just so happens whatever's going on in your life and whatever's happening, you experience the presence of God, the Holy Spirit takes His highlighter and takes one of those verses and highlights it and says, that's for you today. Just amazing. He can do that in Numbers. He can do it in Leviticus. He can do it in the book of Jude. And you might even go too far and read maps and find something powerful there. Right? But that's what the Holy Spirit can do. We have this wonderful presence of the Lord with us that if we'll just get into His Word, there's something that happens. Even if we come at it with almost bribery or a drudgery. You know, hey, there's people who go towards a diet with great expectations. They stick with it and they come out with great results. And that's what can happen with the Word of God. Say, look, Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I'm going to addict myself and discipline myself to get into the Word. It might start out as a discipline. I'm going to tell you, I'll challenge you. See how quickly it turns into life and joy. God is not going to leave you dry as toast. He's not going to abandon you. The Holy Spirit is going to swaddle you. He's going to accompany you. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like there's some glasses that have been put on. And saying, wow, I never saw that before. Wow, that's exciting. I need to get back into this Bible. I need to get back into this Word. His Word is a lamp for our feet, a light to our path. Life hack number 2, see if you can't get through the Bible one time in 1 year. Life hack number 3, and Jesus' disciples came to Him privately and asked Him why they could not drive it out. And He told them, because of your lack of faith. I tell all of you with certainty, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind does not come out except by our favorite phrase, prayer and fasting. In fact, some of us, when we say fasting, we go, I'm fasting. Prayer. Okay. 50%. Boop, say, survey says, fasting. Oh, pastor, why did you go mention that four-letter word in church? In fact, 2 of them clumped right there together. Fast and pray. Jesus had come up against a situation. In fact, His disciples had come up against a situation. And by the way, when you read your New Testament, please do not take Matthew and Mark and John and Zebedee and Peter and float them 6 feet off the ground as angelic. They are human. They are clay. They are fallen. They are fallible. They don't understand. They're puzzled. They're astonished. And they're rebuked often. Okay? What we get to hear in Scripture is Jesus laying the wood on them and saying, wait, boys, how long have I been with you? And you still don't get it. I mean, we have to hear what Jesus is saying. He's saying, how long have I been with you and you still don't get it? And so there's a striving and a working. Aren't you glad Jesus is patient? By the way, why is, God is patient, and aren't you glad? Because he has to deal with me. He has to deal with you. And this requires patience and moving through a process. And so he tells them basically, this is not happening, not because you don't believe, and secondly, because you don't fast and pray. There is a spiritual warfare that we can involve ourselves in. And there are certain things, folks, that don't move and don't respond unless we join together fasting and praying. What does that mean? Now, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It does not mean starving yourself to get God's attention. We have people that are considered, how many of you heard the name Cesar Chavez? They name boulevards after the man. There's other key people that we have seen shown up in our politics and shown up in our everyday newspapers that they typically have what's called a hunger strike. And what's that? We're going to quit eating until you meet our demands. And so people are going, boy, man, we don't want people dying. That is not what you're doing when you're fasting. God is mean. He is belligerent. He is bellicose. He is resistant. He is stubborn. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand here and hold my breath and go without food until stingy, stubborn God does something for me. No, no, no. We have a loving Heavenly Father who has loads of grace, more than we can use up. He has way more love that we can exhaust. He has got all of these wonderful things in Christ Jesus. It is not a matter of a starvation diet or standing before God saying, either I die or this happens. No. It's about laying aside what is about me and embracing what is about God. That's what it's about. In fact, you don't go like a Pharisee and disfigure your face and go, oh boy, I'm fasting again, hoping God comes through for me on this one. No, it wasn't that at all. In fact, Jesus said, when you do this, don't disfigure your faces. Anoint your head. Go on with life as normal so that people say, oh, you're fasting? Well, I didn't know. It's not because you're sitting there with your face and your plate just shoving as much as you can in it, but you're not making a big deal out of it. You're not in mourning. There's not a heavy air around you. You're sitting there drinking water and lemon, or maybe you're just eating beans and you're not enjoying all the other things on the menu, but you're just saying, you know what? The Lord has spoken to me and I'm laying aside some things that pertain to me because I really want to hear from Him and I really want to respond to Him. I want to encourage you, life hack number 3, involve yourself in fasting and praying. Put fasting with your praying. Life hack number 4. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Now he's speaking to people who want to be his disciples. This is post being born again, okay? This is the activity that occurs in a Christian's life after they're born again. And so it, really quickly, life hack number 4, live dead. Well, that sounds kind of strange. Pastor, those are two opposites. Those don't go together. Live dead. Well, I'll help you a little bit. How about live like you are dying? I picked up lyric. Every once in a while, there's something that shows up, often in country lyrics. I don't know why that is. And there was a man, there's a story that's told by Tim McGraw in one of his songs. And in that song, there's a man who encounters another man. And he talks about her, how he's gotten some x-rays, he's gotten some bad news. In other words, life may be cut a lot shorter than I thought it would be. And he asked this advice of another man, what did you do when you heard that? And the man replied, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And I loved deeper. And I spoke sweeter. And I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. Someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. Well, that's not exactly printed like that in Scripture, but I think somebody stumbled across something that may just be a pearl right down there in the pig trough. I think that's something to get a hold of. to live like you are dying. Do you know that dead people can't be offended? You can't offend a dead person. A dead person doesn't respond with those things. Hopefully because they're with Jesus in heaven, they see the whole picture now. I don't believe there's people offended in heaven. Okay, that's not going on. So live dead. Live like you are dying. If that was a perspective, and I thought that was so powerful, I would love sweeter. I would give forgiveness I'd been denying. I hope you have the chance to live like you were dying. I believe Jesus knew what he was talking about. He said, if you're going to be my disciple, here's the key. Take up your cross daily and die to yourself. And follow me. Die to yourself. Why? Because we have met our enemy. It is me. Folks, I'm just telling you, the biggest enemy I confront on an everyday basis, his name is Douglas William Martin. He's 56 years of age and he resides at 3045 Yoakum Street. He's married to a beautiful woman by the name of Tasha, has four wonderful kids, has mom and dad in his life, and is pastoring a great church in the city of Lake Worth with wonderful people. But on a daily basis, I have to confront and deal with Douglas W. Martin. He's my greatest single foe. He can ruin the deal every time. All he has to do is not die to himself, and things get tragic and terrible. But man, if he'll get up every morning, get in the presence of God and say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. It's not about me, it's about your kingdom. It's not about my comfort and safety, but it is about the comfort and safety of your flock and your people and your plan. Not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if I would align with that, what happens? I die, nevertheless, Christ then lives in me. And I get to live like I'm dying. That makes me ready for the news that I might not live through tomorrow. Hey, I've been dying every day anyway. What's another day of that? Because when I die, nevertheless, Christ lives in me, and I have this hope that when I pass and these eyes close in sleep, never to be opened again except in a glorified body, I'm going to be instantly in the presence of the Lord, and I'm going to be shouting and rejoicing because I get to see Jesus. I get to sit down and discuss some things with Paul. I get to see things that I wanted to see and understand things I never understood. And all of that dying is worth it because I got out of the way, which let him live through me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand count. Live dead. Or another way to say it, live like you're dying. That really doesn't matter that much anymore. It's amazing how it changes your perspective. Life hack number 5. Now, it tags on to something he said in the context of that song. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Going forward in 2019, can you imagine what would happen in our life if we kept a short list of offenses? A short list of unforgiveness? Here's the best kind of list to have. Talk about short. How about one that doesn't exist at all? How about a piece of paper that is not even in your pocket? How about something that's not even in your brain at the forefront? Now, you know what it's like to have an offense or something that requires forgiveness. Why? Because your brain has a way of bringing those sticky notes up constantly. They'll appear before your brain in church, in worship, in praise, in prayer, at meals, in discussions with other people, at downtime, going to sleep, waking up in the morning. Those little to-do sticky notes just come up and our brain just loves to recycle them. Why? Because our brain is built to recycle things and bring them to our attention. But aren't you glad that Jesus has the permanent eraser? His blood can make the vilest sinner clean. He took our offenses. He bore our offenses so that we could release people from their offenses. And what happens when we release other people from our offenses? We get released. You know, offense and unforgiveness is one of those things that always does more damage to the unintended target The people who hold unforgiveness get damaged way more than the person they were unwilling to forgive. It's targeted at that person over there, but it has this weird way of U-turning and coming back and just smiting us. Just beating us up and just tearing us up from our spirit to our soul to our body. Let 2019 be the year when we take all those lists and burn them. We submit them to the blood of Christ and say, I'm going to live like I'm dying. I'm going to give forgiveness that I'd been denying. I'm going to release forgiveness. Lord, I need some help on that, though. I need you to teach me how to forgive some people, because some people and some offenses are really hard to let go. Really hard. But Jesus, the innocent, suffered for the guilty, and he let it go. Aren't you glad? He let it go. Give the Lord a hand clap. Keep a short list of offenses. Number six. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe we're in the last days? How many of you believe we're getting closer every day? Well, the closer we get as we go to 2019, and frankly, I thought 1981 was D-Day. I thought that's when Jesus was going to come back and we were out of here. And I wasn't even going to graduate from high school or get married. But I had to be ready. I wanted to be ready. Jesus might come back at any time. And he says, as you see that day approaching, it's getting closer, folks. And what does he tell us? Don't give up meeting together as the habit of some is. Get in the habit. How many of you, everybody say habit. That's not just a nun's garb. A habit. Sometimes we talk about habits, but we put the name in front of it as bad, especially if it comes to church, like a habit of reading your Bible or a habit of going to church. Well, that's just a habit. No, that's a good habit. That's a great start, because you're getting around the teaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the presence of the people of God. You're getting around more gifts. You're getting around more grace. And you know what happens when you get around that? Something might rub off on you. You might catch something, and it's not influenza. It's the influence of the presence of God. It's the wind of God, the presence of God that he manifests in his people. And so we hear the words of the apostle in Hebrews chapter 10. Don't give. Gather with his church every chance you get. Amen? Make that your habit. Rather than a habit of finding excuse not to go or reason to ixnay on that or to distance ourselves. But what would happen in 2019 if we said, you know what? Every chance I get to be gathered together with those people at Vision Church, this is your church. You're here this morning. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. There's Bible studies. There's women's Bible studies. There's things that are going on. Here's what we're going to do as a staff. We're going to dream, pray, fast, and pray, and really focus on where's the church at, what does it need, and what can we provide, and how can we do that, and maximize ministry and involvement in ministry. And on the other hand, we're asking for this from you. Where can I plug in? Where can I be involved? What can I do? Pastor's not just laying awake at night thinking up busy work for me. He wants to see me maximize my potential in Christ Jesus. And he wants life abundantly for me. And that staff loves me. And they want life abundantly for my teenagers, for my children, for the girls, for the boys. They want discipleship. They want to move people closer to him. They want to connect people with God. And I want to be a part of that. Amen? So in 2019, let's gather with this church every chance you get. And then, number seven, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. Life hack number seven, align with God's economy, with God's economics. Do we become tithers, that we are committed and addicted to giving? And I just love hearing the stories. I'd just love to take some time maybe to get some stories from you of those times when God has miraculously provided for you because you've remained faithful to the tithe and had a challenge. And in the midst of that challenge, God's wonderful answer came through with his provision that says, look, folks, God says, test me in this. Get on board with God's economics. We believe so much in God's economics that twice a year we even offer Financial Peace University. And encourage you to come. It'll be meeting again in March of 2019. And that's an opportunity to, one hand, express yourself in God's economics and tithing, but sometimes we also need to adjust our economic priorities. And so we actually have discipleship tools that are available to help us to budget and to do things to say, God, I want to act more wisely when it comes to the economics that you have provided with me, that we align with God's economics. As we go into 2019, that this would be a year where you say, you know what, I'm going to pay God's tithes, I'm going to honor God with the tithes, and I'm going to give above and beyond the tithes in some other area. Maybe that's this morning a challenge you just need to hear, and this is a great time to hear it, when 2019 hasn't even been entered into. So I want to invite you to stand this morning, and I want to pray over you, and here's the question I have for you before we pray. What is the one thing? I gave you 7 life hacks straight out of the Word of God with divine approval from Jesus and His apostles and His prophets, okay? Right there in the Word of God. Out of these 7, how many know the 7s just say, Pastor, 7's a lot, right? All right. But there's one. I believe there's one that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and saying, you know what, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. And adjustment in this area under my guidance in 2019 and under my tutelage, under my instruction in 2019 is going to bring some abundance into your life. It's going to bring life and that abundantly. It's going to bring life to the full to you. 7 life hacks. I'm not asking you to do all 7. I'd love for you. As a pastor, I'll be honest with you. I'd love for you to be addicted to all 7 of them. But you are at a place in your life where a very personal instructor, the Holy Spirit, is with you. And He says, here's the one thing I want you to think about and focus on as we go into 2019 together. Because in 2019, you're going to go up against stuff you don't know about. I do, you don't, and I'm not telling you. But I know how to get you ready. And I know how to pour grace in your life beforehand and after and during. And there's something I want to do. There's a life hack I have for you. There's something I want to do to take your life from here to here. Where I want to move you into life abundantly. That I want to express my life in you. What is that one thing? And I'm just going to ask you to lift up a finger with that one thing. Just indicating that one thing to the Lord. And say, Lord, here's my one thing. You and I know in the counsel of my heart, where's that area that I struggle, that area that you're calling me forward into 2019 and you're saying, there's so much I want to do in your life, but this is the first priority for you. It's very personal. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. He's speaking some things to your heart. He's urging you. He's stirring you right there. Sometimes you can tell because you kind of feel a little uncomfortable. Oh, man, I just knew you were going to mention that fasting word. I just knew you were going to talk to me about that. Or, Lord, why are you always meddling with my pocketbook? Or, Lord, what, you know, but I go enough. So, Lord, we just come to you without argument and with an open heart. And we say, Lord, you have life and more abundantly for us. And we want to step into that abundant life. And there's that one thing that I can go after. You'll help me with those other things, but there's a priority amongst these 7 that you really want me to align with, that you want me to go after, that you want me to commit to, that you want me to invest in, that you want me to addict myself to, that you want me to become passionate with. And Lord, you know me. I'm going to need help. I'm going to need encouragement. I'm going to need energy. I'm going to need breath and wind. I'm going to need passion. I'm going to need fire. I'm going to need stick-to-itiveness. I'm going to need faithfulness. Well, Lord, you supply that. That's your provision. So, Lord, I know you won't abandon me, won't leave me, won't forsake me, won't bail out on me. So, Lord, I'm just asking that you'd help me with that 2019, that one life hack, that one thing that I can focus like a laser beam on, that we can start this year and I can be hearing your voice enjoying your presence, carrying your presence, stepping out into your economy, doing things that I've never done before and going places I've never gone before in you as we look at this new year upon us. Lord, we thank you for that. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Go with that one thing. Maybe you want to jot that down in your Bible. Put it on a card or something in code where only you know it. And just watch what the Lord's going to do in 2019. Lord, bless us as we go.